A very good morning to you all, brethren and friends. I bring you Christian greetings once again, and especially to those who are here for the first time, a warm welcome to you. So far in our study on the subject of serving in the kingdom of God, we have covered what is the kingdom of Christ, the nature of the kingdom of Christ. Why do we serve in Christ's kingdom? We also touch on the awesome privilege of serving in Christ's kingdom. And then we also went on to look at the requirements for serving in God's kingdom or Christ's kingdom. We dwelt with the subject of the heart of a servant, what it is to be a servant of Christ. And two Sundays ago, we talked about the Christian true citizenship or the dual citizenship. And just to recap the main point of last week's sermon on the topic motivation for serving in Christ's kingdom, I brought up the three main principles which the Apostle Paul himself adopted and learned through the Spirit for his own life, for his own ministry, and how that three principle kept our Apostle Paul pressing on despite the many suffering, despite the persecution and the affliction. And the three main principles Paul adopted were constantly setting his sight heavenward, which is to say he constantly looked forward to the future glory to come. That future glory to Paul far outweighs his temporal earthly suffering. The second principle that he adopted is earnestly desire to put on the new body in Christ, which means we believers are encouraged to though our physical, our bodies here on this earth, this earthly body will wear out, will die soon, we can be assured of that new glorified body, which first of all, through Christ, when He rose from the dead, and that is already an assurance to those of us who are in the Lord, just as Christ was rose again and have the glorified body, so will we His children. And the final principle which Paul adopted for his life and his ministry is to look forward to be accepted of the Lord. But I make a qualification there, and that qualification is that only those who in this present life, the life that you and I have as believers, only those who in this present life faithfully serve the Lord and follow after Him can expect to be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. My challenge to all of us then was to prayerfully seek the Lord's help in developing these three main principles and to pursue after it while we still have the life, have the breath, and have the time that God has loaned to us. So now, having reviewed that and having done all these studies to equip us to serve the Lord better, and knowing what to do right now as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is another area that I like to look at together with you this morning, which may, at the first reading, seems to have nothing to do with the serving or our serving in the kingdom of God. And of course, that verse you know from our text that the chairman has already read to us, Matthew 6:33, which is our main text. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so from the text, you may already know that this meditation concern about worry or worrying or anxiety. It may surprise you to know that this malice of worrying or anxiety has everything to do with our serving in the kingdom of Christ. It has everything to do with that. Why? Because worry or anxiety strangle and choke the lifeblood, the spiritual lifeblood of a believer. It robs the believer of that joy in the Lord. But more crucially, listen to this very carefully. Worrying and anxiety, ladies and gentlemen, is a sin. I want to tell you on the onset that worrying and anxiety is a sin, because it is a sin of distrust in, and distraction from the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this very clear. So do not think that worrying is just part and puzzle of our life. If we are anxious of certain things, something troubles us, therefore it is natural. Natural only for the unbelievers. But it is not natural for one who is in Christ and keep focusing on the Lord Jesus. That's why I say it is a sin of distrust in, distraction from. You turn your eyes from the Lord and worry and become anxious, and that's where it becomes sin. We shall study this text or this passage from Matthew 6:19-34 by looking into the three W's of worry. I call it the three W's of worry for our easy memory. And the first is the warning of worry. From the passage we have just looked at, chapter 6 is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5. And our Lord Jesus has touched on the various subjects, from the subject of almsgiving, to prayer, to fasting. And when he comes to verse 19 of Matthew 6, he begins the subject on the sin of covetousness and the sin of worrying or anxiety. And this is where Jesus begins to warn us, or warn his disciples and all of us, the danger of storing up on earth, storing up treasures on earth. And the Dr. Luke mentioned the similar teaching of Jesus in Luke 12, 15-32, which is the parallel passage of Matthew 6, the subject that we are going to deal with this morning. And likewise there in Luke 12:15-32, the Dr. Luke warns us of laying up treasures for our own and is not rich toward God. To understand this subject better, or the nature of this sin of covetousness, of this sin of worrying and anxiety, the Lord Jesus uses a parable which Luke recorded for us in chapter 12, verse 16. That parable there shows us a rich man, if you would like to turn to it, Luke chapter 12, verse 16 onward. And that parable there shows us, or tells us, a rich man who had plentiful, and yet he was not contented with what he had, he already had. And he decided to have more. He wants more. And so that means he requires a bigger bun, or more buns, if you like, to store up his wealth. And you know the whole story, the whole ending of the story. Unknown to him, God has already appointed the day and time of his departure from this life. And the end, Jesus called this man. A rich man, yes, he's rich indeed, a fool. This man, in this parable, died in his foolishness. because he has not focused his heart and mind on the things that are far more crucial and important. The warning that Jesus is trying to show us in that parable is the futility of providing only for this present life, in this temporal world, and ignoring the preparation for the life to come, which is eternal. Are we not like this rich fool? We may not totally be like him, but in some ways, we can identify ourselves to be like this rich man, isn't it? Or this man who has a lot. Are we not blessed so richly? Can you really say that you are not blessed, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think you need to go very far, even at the comfort of your living room, you will know how blessed you and I are. Just turn on the TV. Don't watch all these nonsense shows. But turn on to watch the news and some of this documentary program. People who are living in the third world, in India, and even in America, mind you. And you will realize how blessed you are, how blessed I am, that we have proper clothing to put on, shoes to put on, a proper place to sleep. We have every luxury and comfort. There are people out there, day and night, in fact, every single moment, worrying and thinking where the next meal will come. They have no clean water to wash themselves. They have nothing. Nothing to look forward to. You and I can think of, wow, if we have no money, let's go to the ATM machine and, you know, press some buttons on the wall and then the money comes out. You and I can think of, oh, tomorrow I got to wake up and go to work. Brothers and sisters, you and I are very blessed. So do not be like this rich man, complain and murmur at the slightest inconvenience, at the slightest problem. You begin to turn your eyes away from the Lord and think you can do better. All worrying, all anxiety is the beginning of such foolishness, to care only for this temporal life. And it all stems from a heart of distrust in the Lord's power, in God's power to provide for His people. I want to stress this, to provide for His people. You and I can be assured, if you are a child of God, born of the Spirit, every of your need, and as David said in his psalm, he has not seen in his lifetime a child of God begging. And you can be assured that all your needs, and I stress this one again, is needs, not wants. But even that, is it not true that God, after meeting our needs, also meets our wants sometimes? And this sin of worrying leads to the destruction of the eyes from focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and turning its attention on the things of this world for satisfaction. We think that the world, that the things in this world will give us the ultimate satisfaction. But let us look at our own life. Are you satisfied with just one shoe? I don't think so. Next moment, you will think that, well, it's a little bit torn. I think I need another one. And then so on and so forth for all the rest of the things, isn't it? And this dissatisfaction and distraction will eventually lead us to another sin, the sin of covetousness, which Jesus highlighted in verse 12 of Luke chapter, or rather verse 15 of Luke chapter 12. The teaching of Jesus to us concerns two groups of believers. To the wealthy believers, he warns them of the foolishness of accumulating more wealth and trusting in it. And to the poor believers, who do not have the possession of the wealthy, Jesus warns us of the sin of worry. In both cases, they are to pay attention to the teaching of Luke 12:15, that a man's life, that means the life itself, the life that you and I have, or the value of our life, the comfort of our life, the happiness of our life, and more importantly, our soul is not dependent upon our possession, our wealth, our status, or the things of this world. It does not matter to God as far as God is concerned. Whether you have plenty, whether you are wealthy, or whether you have less. What we are supposed to do is to take heed of this warning, ladies and gentlemen. Take this warning of the sin of worrying, the sin of covetousness, and thereafter take steps to avoid this sin. Do you know, brethren, that the subject of wealth, this subject of money, is so deadly that there are more parables in the Bible that deals with this subject to warn us than any other subject? We do well to watch. We do well to watch where our heart is. Now let's go move on to the second W. The second W is the worthlessness of worrying. I just use that word just for convenience, for our easy memory. The second W, worthlessness of worrying, refers to the uselessness, or there's no point in worrying. The Lord Jesus uses two things from nature to lend support to this second point of uselessness in worrying about the material and the temporal things of this life. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The word therefore shows the connection with the preceding. The warning has been given, and now Jesus proceeds to put forth his argument. Notice that Jesus uses the words, take no thought, four times in this passage, to stress on this sin of distrust in and distraction from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is used, these few words, take no thought, is used in verse 25, 28, in a question form of course, but in verse, and also in verse 31 and 34. Again, when you read the Bible, pay attention to this. When these points are repeated, or these words are repeated, is to capture our attention. Why? Because it is important. That is why the Lord Jesus repeated that, and not repeated it twice, four times. Here, we are reminded of God's providential care, or particular care, over what he has created, and especially over his people. Our God does not leave his creation on their own without his personal attention to see to their needs and desire. He is not only the creator, but he is also the sustainer of all his creation. And not only a creator, and not only a sustainer, our God is also the sovereign ruler over all, meaning to say, he controls every affairs. Enough, and in heaven. The point that Jesus is bringing across to us is this: that since earthly treasures are so transitory or so temporal, that can be easily destroyed by moth and rust, that can be suddenly taken by or stolen by thieves, that can so easily blur our mental and moral vision as inferred in verses 22 and 23 of Luke, then why seek all this? Why seek all this in exchange of heavenly treasures that are more secure in heaven, where there is no moth, no rust to destroy, no thieves will suddenly break through and steal? Why? Why do we so foolishly put our hearts and mind seeking for all these things which will not last, in exchange with what that will last? Jesus is directing our hearts and our minds to the more important issue of life. And that is our life itself. Our life itself is more important than what you put on. Our life itself is more important than what you eat. And more so, our soul is more precious than all these temporal needs, though we are in need of it. He further points out or supports this argument by asking us what? To look at the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. For they do not plant, neither do they harvest, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And not only feedeth them, I want to stress, feedeth them daily. But be cautious here. I want to add this because I know that there are people who are very quick. There you are. I have a Bible verse that supports me that I should just sit back and relax. Though the fowls of the air seems to be very carefree, it seems that they have no worries at all, flying here and there and chipping away. Jesus is not using this illustration, ladies and gentlemen, to teach idleness and stop working. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. Don't use this text and tell your boss, tomorrow I resign. God will feed me. You try. You'll go broke and you'll die of hunger. You don't expect God to feed you that way. Far from saying that the birds are idle, we all know through books, through documentary shows or whatever, we all know, and it is a known fact, that each bird species knows when to feed, or rather when to gather their food. They know when to store up, where to store up, and they know where and when to build their nests. And do you know? They also know when to train their young to equip them to feed themselves. Do you know that? So by saying that the Heavenly Father feeds them, it is not the same to say that God, or rather it is the same. It is the same. By saying that the Heavenly Father feeds them, the Lord Jesus is actually saying the same thing. That God, by endowing them with instinct, is caring for them. While the birds or the creation of God, the animal kingdom, they are just responding to what they are designed for. See that? So do not use this text and make an excuse to stop work and make a living for yourself and for your family. By asking us to watch the birds, which is so insignificant and of little value, the Lord Jesus is trying to impress upon us how much more you who are created in the image of God, how much more will not God provide for you and me? If the birds are of no value at all, little value at all as compared to human life, And if this is not good enough, if this illustration of asking us to watch the birds is not good enough, Jesus went a step further by asking what? To examine carefully the lilies of the field. Something which is even far less significant and far less value as compared to a sparrow, say. Matthew 6:28-29 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do the lilies work and clothe themselves? Certainly not. They all appear to do nothing, isn't it? As you watch and look at the lilies. Yet again we see God by his mighty power. Through what? Through the process of nature that God has put in order to bring out the beauty of the lilies. Every season, in its time, God by his mighty power, which you cannot see, through the process of nature, bring out that glory of the lily to teach us not to worry. Why? Because God is able to take care of lilies, which is of no value, less value than a bird, if you like to say that. And even Solomon, in all his glory, in all that he has done, God said, there's no comparison. Even Solomon's glory cannot match the glory of these lilies. So you see, brethren and friends, the conclusion of the matter is this. It is totally useless. It is totally worthless to worry and be anxious because verse 27 also tells us that our life will not by any means be lengthened though we go on worrying. It will not add to your life, not even a single bit. But rather it will shorten your life, as medical science will tell us. Is it not true? It will not lengthen you by worrying. In fact, it is the other opposite. It damages your health. And more importantly, it robs the believer of the joy of the Lord. However, this one comforting fact remains. That is, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, meaning we burn it, shall he not much more clothe you? I trust that you will consider this second point, the second W, very carefully. The third W, that is the way out of worry. Our Lord Jesus did not just leave us with the warning, showing us the worthlessness or the uselessness of worrying. He concludes this discourse by giving us the solution, the way out of worry. And what is the way out? Is there a way out? I want to say this emphatically. For the believers, yes, there is a way out. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't stop there. Many people stop there, you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, full stop. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to point out to all of us, his righteousness is very important. It means what, do you know? It means practical Christian living. It means show or prove your fruits of repentance. Show to the world, those around you who are non-believers, that you are truly a Christian by what? By your life. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, that is salvation. Alright? And then followed by his righteousness. And then what will happen? So this verse is a commandment, and it finished with a promise. And all these things will be added or shall be added unto you. The solution to stop worrying is to seek. The word seek is to go after, to aim at, or to strive after. This verb in the original language in Greek is in the present tense, in the active voice, and as I said before, imperative mood means commandment. It is a commandment. Believers are commanded to go after, to aim at, to strive after. And not only that, because it's present tense, it means what? Do it continuously. Seek the Lord continuously. That is what we are commanded to do. Do not let up your effort. Keep at it. Persevere on. Keep going after it. This is the word. The word seek expresses this force, this intensity that we are supposed to do. To go after the Lord. That's why Hebrews say what? He will be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not just seek Him. Diligently seek Him. What are we to seek after? The first thing to seek after is the kingdom of God. Make sure you have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul is more important than the body. The body is more important than your clothing and your meat. First, tackle that problem of sin. And the solution to sin is salvation in Jesus Christ. And after you are saved, the second step to stop worrying is to seek after the righteousness of God, which I have already mentioned, to strive for holiness, to be Christ-like. This means we are to seek nothing else. We are not to give priority to anything else. Our first priority, ladies and gentlemen, brethren, is to make God's will our first priority. Make God's will your first priority. If you are able to do that, you will have no worry, because you keep your eyes focusing unto the Lord. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Do not be distracted by all this concern. Do not be distracted by all the attraction of the world. All this qualification, all this glamour, all this fame, all this money that all this wealth that money can buy. Do not fix your eyes upon all this. The Lord will give it to you in His time. You make sure you do your part to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Seek after Him, first His salvation, and make sure you continue by the help of the Holy Spirit to be Christ-like, to live your life that will glorify the Lord Jesus and serve Him. Why? Why are we to make God's will our number one priority? And before I ask that, the first thing I would like to ask, I go back a little bit. Are you willing? Are you willing to make God's will the top or the topmost priority in your life? You see, brethren, you and I cannot escape the fact from the teaching of Scripture. You cannot deny every page that you turn. If you carefully examine it, the Lord Jesus wants all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you cannot give that to the Lord, He wants nothing from you and me. We cannot escape from the fact that you and I have to make sacrifices. We have to set the right priority in our life, and there is no way out. Today you have to make the decision to ask yourself, are you willing to make God's will the top priority of your life? And all the other things to you must be secondary. What are the things of God, which I've already mentioned? His salvation, His laws, His will for our lives, His holiness, His righteousness, to be Christ-like, to put on the character of God, to put on the new man and to put off the old man. That's what it's talking about righteousness, seeking after righteousness. We are to pay no attention to pursuing material possession, to gain social status through our qualification or position. Yes, those are legitimate by itself. It is good as the Lord bless you. Fine. But we are not to put our attention on all this. We are to give up vain glory and pride and to get rid of anything that will come between God and you. And the reason why we should not go after this thing is because the Gentiles seek after these things. Verse 32. The Gentiles, those in the world, they will seek after. They have everything to worry about because they have no God. But you and I who have God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, you do not have to be like the Gentiles, the people of the world, to seek after these things, because the Gentiles who are not in Christ, they are in the world and they will seek after these things. And moreover, or furthermore, why we are not to set our hearts on all these things? Because all these things shall be added unto you if you and I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are no longer Gentiles in the flesh, but Gentiles in Christ. And therefore, we are to stop living as though we are like Gentiles. Those of us who are true believers, Paul says this, put off concerning the former conversation, meaning to say, put off your former conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:22-24. So the Lord Jesus concludes his teaching by giving us a heavenly wisdom to show us that there is no point, no cause for worry, because the future is beyond our control. And even now in the present life, the present problems and difficulties that you and I are facing, Jesus is saying that you are not even capable of handling it, of resolving all this present conflict and problem well. Why think of tomorrow? Tomorrow has its own worries. Verse 34. Furthermore, as I said, the future is beyond your control and my control. It is in the control of our Heavenly Father. And that is why we are to put our trust in Him and not be distracted. The key to overcoming anxiety or worry and the sin of covetousness is to keep seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is our part. And you can be assured that then God will do His part to provide for all our needs continuously. That is the promise that He has given to us in Matthew 6:33. And I hope that you and I will keep our mind on this. And if we do so, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. If we keep doing that, we will never go wrong. And you do not have to be concerned about what you need, what you want to put on, and your 3 meals or even 4 meals. The Lord will provide. Are you willing to put your trust in Him? But as I said again, it does not mean that we have... It is not an excuse for us to relax and do nothing. Neither is it teaching us to do just a bare minimum at our place of work, let our colleague do more of the work, and then we can just take more holidays, apply more leaves, come for church camp. It's not that. You better work hard, and the Lord will reward you. You better do your best as unto the Lord. And God is no debtor. I can testify for my own lives, during my life, working in the world, and right now in the ministry, I can truly declare to you all, God is no debtor if you and I are prepared to trust in Him, to purpose in our heart to just keep on focusing on Him, even if it means difficulty, even if it means suffering, even there are problems and affliction. If you and I will only keep looking unto Him, you have no cause to worry. But for those who are outside your kingdom, outside the kingdom of God, you have everything to worry about. And I know why. Because I went through that myself before I became a Christian. Everything will be a worry for you. No job, no money, children problem, husband problem, wife's problem, whatever the problem, every single thing in life will be anxiety to you because you do not have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you may say that I have no sin. Why? I did not murder, I did not kill, I did not rape, and I did not burn down somebody's house. But the Bible says, the moment you do not put your trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have already sinned. And that sin is good enough for God, or good enough reason for God to send you and me to hell. Do you know that? It doesn't need you to, whether you know you murder or no murder, whether you cheat or lie or you did, you can say that you do nothing of this. But the Bible says very simply, the moment you do not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you are condemned. Finished. Therefore, I suggest to those of you who are still seeking, deal with the problem of the heart first. The heart of sin. Seek the kingdom of God is to seek His salvation. Seek not only His salvation, for those of us who are believers, seek after His righteousness. And you can be assured, and I can testify once again, God shall add to you all that you ever need in this life. And you'll be so surprised. Even those things that you never dream of, never thought of, the Lord in His grace and mercy and in His good time sent. I want to encourage those of us who are in the Lord with the words of Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which you knowest not. Do you believe in that? Let us pray. Our mighty Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit will impress upon our hearts the danger, the warning that You have given to us, the sin of worrying, the sin of covetousness, the sin of not trusting in You and being distracted and focusing our hearts and our minds on the things of this world. Oh Father, we pray that You will help us never, never to doubt in Your power, in Your greatness, in Your ability, in Your sovereign will to care for Your people. Help us to turn unto Thee in repentance and to walk wholly after Thee, faithfully, all and the remaining days of our lives here on this earth, till You come and receive us unto Yourself. In Jesus' name, Amen.